Okay, we're going to begin here at the bottom of Ayin Zayin Mudbet with the Mishnah that we did yesterday, and then we'll continue with the Gemara afterwards. The first case in the Mishnah is Dam Shnit Arei B'mayim. You have blood of a Zevach that's supposed to end up on the Mizbeach that got mixed up with water. How do we determine if it still has the status of Dam? Mishnah says, Miyesh Bo Marit Dam, Kasher. If it still has the appearance of blood, the solution of the water in the blood still appears to be blood, then it's Kasher, and it can be placed on the Mizbeach without any problems. Now, Nitarei B'yayin. In this next case, you have an additional complexity to the case because the wine that we're speaking about here is Yayin Adom, is red wine. So now you have red wine that got mixed up with the blood. In terms of discerning whether there's sufficient blood here to be called blood, we can't use appearance as the test anymore because both the blood and the wine are red. So the Mishnah says, Ro'ino toki iluhumayim. We look at the blood that's found here as if it is water. And if this capacity of water would cause the solution not to have the appearance of dam, then it would be problematic. Otherwise, it'll be kasher, like the first case in the Mishnah. Itarei b'dam behema, o b'dam chachaya. If it got mixed up, now we're talking about min b'mino. Here the Mishnah changed to a new case, but until this point in time we've been speaking about min sheino mino, either have dam and water, or dam and yayin. The question that revolved around the first two cases was whether the appearance is different than the min sheino mino, or is the appearance the same? One case of water, then one case of wine. Now we've entered into a series of cases where it's min b'mino, that they are of the same kind. You have dam of zvachim, kosher zevach, that got mixed up with either behemat chulin, the blood of a behemat chulin, or chaya, or the blood of a chaya of chulin. Then at this point in time, the Mishnah prescribes, or the Tanakhama believes, that we say that the same thing we've said in the first two cases. The first two cases, which were min she'enu mino, we said that we look, either if it's water, we test the appearance. If it's wine, we look as if the wine was water and see what the appearance would be. Now the Tanakhama suggests, even in a case of min b'mino, we have blood of chulin and blood of kodshim, we do the same test that we did for the first two cases in the Mishnah. That is, that we see if the appearance of the blood of kodshim would still be sufficient to color the solution if the other item was water, not dam, then that'll be fine. Otherwise, it would not be fine. Now, along comes Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein dam mevatel dam. B'min b'mino, dam cannot be mevatel the other dam. So Rabbi Yehuda argues on the Tanakhama in this last case here, because he says, by min b'mino, we don't have this idea of appearance, that being the decisive factor. Min she'enu mino, maybe that's a different thing. But min b'mino, ein dam mevatel dam. One dam cannot affect the other dam. Now we have an additional case, which is Narei B'dam Psulim. Over here, the blood got mixed up with the dam of Psulim. Now, everybody here agrees that when it comes to the Rov here, if you have Rov Kshirim versus the Psulim, that it technically would have been Kasher. There is a Gzeirat Chachamim, which we'll see in tomorrow's daf, that makes this Pasul over here. So even though we would otherwise say Nitarei B'dam Psulim shouldn't be any different than Nitarei B'Behema or B'dam Chaya, so since those two cases should have been exactly the same, both of them should have the same din. Yet here the Mishnah splits them. And that's what the Gemara will have to discuss. Number one, why is it over here by the case of Nidarei B'dam Psulim, Yishafech Le'ama? If it gets mixed up with Dam Psulim, we tell him to pour it out into the drainage line of the Migdash, and we say it's no good. Whereas when it got mixed up with the Dam of Behemat Chulim, or Dam Chaya, over there we said that we do a test like we did with the other cases beforehand. So first of all, what's the Gzera over here? That'll be tomorrow's daf. And number two is, once we know what that Gzera is, why isn't it applied to Dam Behema and Dam Chaya? Now the Mishnah says about this, Nitarei B'dam Psulim Yishafech Le'ama. It gets mixed up with the psulim, it goes into the drainage system of the Mikdash, you may not use it, you may not sprinkle it. Rashi says this is even in a case where there's rove of dam kasher. The rove is dam kasher, the miut is dam psulim. Nevertheless, this gzeira, that we'll see tomorrow, tells us that yishafech le'ama. B'dama tamsit. The same thing here. Now we're talking about blood that is no good to go on mizbeach. For the mizbeach, you need dam ha-nefesh. Dama tamsit is blood that's not classified as the light, blood with life force in it, and got mixed together. Again, as Rashi points out, we're talking about a case where even when the dama kasher is the robe and the dama tamsit is the miut, we say don't put it on the mizbeach. Yishafech le'ma, should be poured out. Now Rabbi Eliezer machshir. Rabbi Eliezer says no. In these both of these cases, they are mutar or kasher to be placed on the mizbeach. Whether Rabbi Eliezer argues on both cases, meaning that the case of Psulim and the case of Tamsit, or is he only arguing on the case of Tamsit? We'll have to do again in tomorrow's daf with what the gzeira is, and then we'll determine whether Rabbi Elazar is arguing on both or only one of those cases. Now, im lo nimlach, the kohen went ahead and did not ask us what the din is in this case, vinatan, and then he placed the dam nizbeach kasher. So these are in these latter two cases, the case of dam psulim and dam atamtzit. We know that mikar adin, there is even with the role of kasher here, mikar adin, this is totally fine to put on nizbeach. This is just the gzeirat chachamim. So the gzeirat chachamim tells us, if he comes and asks us a shaila, we tell him what the loch is, don't put it on the mizbeach. But if in the end he doesn't ask us, and he puts the dam on the mizbeach anyway, it'll be kasher, and this is even according to the Tana Kama, this isn't Rabbi Lezer's machshir v'chadchila. The Tana Kama says, b'di'eved, if he doesn't keep the gzeirat chachamim, then it is also kasher. Now we have a statement by Amar Bechir Ba'aba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Lo shna, elu shenaflu mayim l'toch dam. That what our Mishnah says here about the mixture, the solution here, that it goes after the appearance, that's only true when the water fell into the blood. Aval naval dam l'toch mayim. On the other hand, if the blood falls into the water, rishon batel. As each drop of blood falls into the water, it's batel, and there no longer is any blood here. So since everything is batel, we no longer have blood, you can't talk about appearance. Appearance is irrelevant at this point in time because the blood doesn't exist. You need the blood to exist in order for it to have an issue with the appearance. So here we have aloha, what's called rishon batel. We saw this also in Avodah Zarah, Agabei, the dinim in Avodah Zarah. There, there's a machloket, Rashi and the Tosafot, about how rishon batel works. According to Rashi, rishon batel works no matter what the capacity or what the size of the amount that's falling in. As each drop goes in, it's batel, and now it joins the other item, and it continues to be mevatel each drop that comes in afterwards. On the other hand, Tosafot says that rishon batel only has application until you reach the rov of the solution. Once the rov of the solution is now being contributed by the isur, we no longer say rishon batel, and the whole thing becomes asur. So Tosafot over there has a threshold of reaching rov. Rishon batel only applies to that threshold. Rashi in Avodah Zarah seems to have no threshold. As long as it keeps falling in, it's rishon batel. So now explaining what Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba just said about our Mishnah. Our Mishnah has a case where we have dam and mayim mixed together. Over here, the mayim is the rov and the dam is the miyut. Yet we're still classifying it as dam because of its appearance. Because it appears like blood, therefore it has a din like blood. So now, when I come over here, Rabbi Chiya says, wait a minute, that's only true if the blood was there already and the water fell into the blood. Because then the status of the blood is clearly blood, and the water that's falling in is just diluting that blood. The question is, how much can we allow it to be diluted before we say it's not blood anymore? On the other hand, if the situation is reversed, and the water is the base, and the blood is falling into the water, as each drop of blood falls into the water, it's batel to the water. If it's batel to the water, we no longer have a shame of dam here. So appearance will not matter, no matter how much dam that falls in, until the appearance changes, that doesn't matter. Now maybe for Tosafot it will matter to the point if it falls in enough to it reaches to be the role of the solution. The blood already is the role of the solution. Maybe Tosafot would say, like he says in Avodah Zarah, that rishon batel doesn't apply, and therefore over here it would also be classified as blood. But that's obviously not the case of our Mishnah. Now there's a second qualification. Amar Papa, uliyinyam kisui ein okein. When it comes to be kisui dam, we're speaking about the obligation to cover the blood of a chaya and oaf. When somebody shechs or kills those animals, you have to do kisui hadam. Now that kisui hadam, if the dam out of that animal fell into water, that's not true. Whereas by the kochim, if the dam falls into water, we say rishon batel, and there's no more blood left here. On the other hand, when it comes to the dam chaya, dam an oaf that falls into water, and you have to do kisui dam on that dam, we do not say that the blood disappears or is batel. The fish ain't dachui b'mitzvot. There is no such thing as mitzvot being pushed out or being eliminated. So Rashi says over here that when they say the lo shayach dachui elo b'dvar kedusha, that dachui means something that had a status, and that status has been stripped of it. So for instance, in Kodshim, you had blood that was ra'oi to go on the Mizbeach. It had a certain status, kedusha, associated with it. Now when it falls into the water, as each drop falls in there, it's being nitchit. It's being pushed off, and it's no longer classified as something kadosh. It loses, it's stripped of that kedusha. That is not true by mitzvot, by the case of the dam chaya. When you have a mitzvah to do with this dam, we're not going to say that there is mitzvah stripped on the blood. You have an obligation to cover this blood up no matter what. Now, what the status of the blood or where the blood's found, that's irrelevant right now. We want you to cover that blood. So therefore, we're not going to say in this instance, rishon, batel degabe, that blood. Because what's going to happen is when the first drop falls in Ochanami, maybe it would have been batel. But then when the second drop comes into it, as Rashi says here, choseret rishonah v'niorah, the original drop comes back to life, and joins with the first leads to Refima to come and join again together with it. So here, by where we all we care about is the dam, and we care about the fact that you have to do kisui adam, and there's no dichui. Therefore, we say as each drop goes in, it still exists within the solution. Now, when the next drop comes in, and the next drop, together they'll be mitztaref. They will join together to the point where if it has the appearance of dam now, then you will be obligated to do kisu dam on this solution because nothing was taken away from the blood as it fell in. Yes, it's batel the gabe amayim, but it still is quote unquote blood. It's just blood that we can't see or we can't get to. But once we can see it again, or once we can determine that there is blood here, then you'll have to have the chiyuv to cover it up. On the other hand, when it comes to kochim, kochim have an additional aspect to them, which is the aspect of kedusha. But the aspect of kedusha, once it's batel, you can't remove kedusha and then reinstate kedusha. And that's the problem over here. When the water falls into the solution, it's rishon batel. It's batel as it falls in. Therefore, it's stripped of its kedusha. Okay, you'll say chozer benir like you did in the other case. That's fine, but you can't bring back the kedusha. You might be able to bring back the fact that it's blood, but you can't bring back the fact that it was kadosh before. Once it's nitchet, the kedusha can never be reinstated. It's just interesting to note here that Rashi, in describing why there's ein dichoy b'mitzvot in the blood here, sounds a little bit like Tosafot from Avodah Zarah. Over there, where Tosafot says that there is no rishon bata once you reach the robe of the solution, Rashi over here also creates a situation like that when they mareh. If the appearance of the solution now returns to being to blood, then we no longer say rishon batel, and the item comes back to being blood, which is very similar or sounds very much like what Tosafot says in Avodah Zarah, the gabe rov. Over here, Rashi is saying the gabe machzer or the appearance. You could be mechalik between the different cases, but it's just interesting to note that Rashi has this concept over here that we have seen before in the Tosafot in Avodah Zarah. Now we have a statement from Reish Lakish. Amar Reish Lakish, hapigul v'anotar v'hatameh. The machloket, whether there should be a girsa v'hatameh here. Both from Rashi, it sounds like over here that he didn't have the girsa. Tosfos brings it down and then explicitly brings two cases that do not include the isur of tuma here. So we'll just read it based on Amar Reish Lakish, hapigul v'anotar. You have two isurim that came together. A person has a gezayit of pigul and a gezayit of notar. Shibbalan zebazeh. He mixed them together. V'achlan, and then he ate them. Patur. In that case, you're patur from malkot. So you have pigul, notar, gezayit of pigul by itself. You'd be chayav malkot, and you'd be over violation of the isur. Notar by itself, kzayit by itself, you would be, again, get malkot, be a violation of the isur. Over here, when you mix the two kzaitim together, you're patur. Yevshar, why is it that you're patur? Shelo yirbe min al chavero. It's impossible that when the person puts it into his mouth and is swallowing it, that one of the two different isurim here will be the rov, and it'll be mavatel, the other item. Vid vadlenu, and that'll make it batel. Shashma minat talat. From this statement of Reish Lakish, we can actually conclude three things, and that explains exactly what the shita of Reish Lakish is in this position. Now, this turns out to be a machloket Rashi, and then Tosafot brings two other opinions about exactly what the case is. We'll start out with Rashi's case, and then afterwards we'll move to Tosafot to ask a number of questions on Rashi, and then show you the two shitot in the Tosafot. So Rashi says over here, number one, Shema mina, isurim mevatlin zedze. When we say that rov is mevatel the miut, or we say one item is mevatel another item, generally we're talking about heter and isur. So something that is of heter, ki mevatel the isur that's there. So the statement of Reish Lakish shows us that that's not limited to heter and isur. It also applies in isur and isur. Here we're talking about a case of pigul and notar, and the reason Reish Lakish gives for you the fact that you're patur here is because one isur is mevatel the other one. It's marbel, there's a ribuy on the other one, and therefore it's mevatel it. So that's the first thing we learn out from Reish Lakish is that the application of bitul applies even between isurim. The second thing we learn out is shmamina notin taberov lab deoraita. That notein tam against the rov is not a din Torah, it's only a din Rabbanan, and that's why we don't have malkot over here. Because let's think about the case. This is at least according to Rashi what the case is here. I have a gzayit of notar and a gzayit of pigul. I mix them together. Then one puts them into their mouth and begins to chew on them. In the mouth, the pieces are breaking up. So in each swallow or in each chewing that you're doing, there is a portion of pigul and a portion of notar. But if we break them down to their component parts, part of the each isur has been taken away from it and then joined with the rov. When it's taken away from it and joined with the rov, it no longer exists there for the other item, and therefore I'm chaser kazayit. I'm chaser kazayit from the pigul, and I'm a chaser kazayit from the notar. Each one of them has a portion of it that is mixed in with the majority of the other isur. So if I say isur is mevatel isur, I've lost a portion of the kazayit of the pigul, and I've lost a portion of the kazayit of the notar. But, let's say, okay, Batal Berov. That's what we're suggesting over here. Even in the case of Minjmino, we're saying, oh, it's Batal Berov. But why don't we say that there's a concept called Notein Tam? That when something gives a flavor, and anyway, that's what Tosa points out otherwise, that Tam Ki Ikar, that in general, when we have flavor anywhere in Shas, they consider it to be a mamashut, as if it was really there, and giving flavor. So over here too, Ein Lachanami, that we have a gzayit of pigul that's been diminished by the notar that's been rabbi on it, and we have a gzayit of notar that's also been diminished by the pigul that's here, but between them, from the flavor standpoint, there's a full gzayit worth of pigul flavor, and there's a full gzayit versus a full of notar flavor. If that's the case, the person has now consumed a gzayit of pigul or a gzayit of notar, and why aren't you chayav? Well, the conclusion for that must be, and that's the second statement here of Shema Minah, is that notein tam berov, the fact that when there's a rov there, and you're notein tam, that we don't say it's batel berov, when there's a flavor in there, generally we would say something's batel berov, but we say if it has flavor, then it's not batel. When we say that, that's only a din d'rabbanan, not a din d'oraita, not a din min haTorah. Because if it was a din min haTorah, then you'd get malkot over here. The fact that you don't get malkot over here shows you that that's only a din d'rabbanan, that notein tam has any impact. Over here, we can't be mechayev and malkot, because it's a din d'oraita. Min d'oraita, it's batel berov. And then we have the last statement over here, which mamino hatras safek lo shma hatra. The one gives a warning that is a safek, meaning that they warn, but they don't know exactly which isur that they're giving the hatra for, then it's not classified as a good hatra. So if you look in Rashi over here, I'll give you the highlights. I'm going to read them in Rashi if you want to follow along. It's starting in the wider lines of Rashi, about two lines down. It says, over here we have a person who is chewing in his mouth these two kizaitim, one kizait to pigul, one kizait to notar. Rashi says, batala mi'ut berov. And the mi'ut gets overrun by the rov. Veha batel b'chomin nosaf al ha-mivatel. And the item that was batel from each one now becomes added on to the mevatel, v'nikra b'shmo, and now it's called its own name, v'nigra mimino, and it's pulled away from the other item. So this first statement of Rashi, which is very controversial, really relates to a general chakira and bitul. When I say something is batel berov, how do I view the mixture going forward? When I say it's batel berov, I say, yes, I have some heter here, I have some iser here, but since the rov is heter, we're just going to assume that it's all heter, that the rov, that when you go to pick it up, the majority of cases you're going to end up with heter, and therefore everything is classified here as heter because we just go after the rov. But not that the iser doesn't exist, the iser does exist, but we're just going to say that since the rov is heter, then we can eat it. Now that will have a nafkamina, for instance, in a case where you're going to consume the whole mixture. In a case where you're just going to consume a portion of the mixture, you can always say that I'm going achar a rov, and therefore I got heter. But if you can consume the whole mixture, then maybe we'll say don't do that, because there's for sure isur that is enveloped in this mixture, and you'll have to remove at least a portion of it and say that that's designated to be the isur, and then I can consume the rest of the mixture. On the other hand, the other possibility by bitul is that the new item, once you have a mixture of the rov, say of heter and the miut of isur, that everything takes on the properties of the heter. The isur no longer exists. I now have a mixture that is completely 100% heter. In that case, obviously you wouldn't have to remove anything from the grouping here, because it's totally batel. And as Rashi says over here, and that's what Rashi says here, which is ubatel amiyut berov, batel b'chomin nosaf ala mevatel. That which is batel from the notar now becomes a poorer part of the pigul. And that which from the pigul that was mixed in with the notar becomes a part of the notar. See, each one of them takes on the properties of the rov. You see, Rashi does believe that concept, or that second part of the chakir that we just said before, that when it comes to bitul, that the new mixture now completely becomes whatever the rove is. There's nothing left of the miut. It doesn't exist anymore. So now we know that for sure one of them has a little more and one has a little less. Now when the edim come along and they want to testify on this individual, we don't know what the mixture is. We don't know if the kazayit now that exists there is the kazayit of notar, or is it the kazayit of pigul. We don't know which isur got diminished and which one got the benefit of the addition from the other item. So because of that, we don't know which one was reduced or diminished. And when they give hatra, we don't know what to give him hatra for. We don't know what to warn him of. What violation is the violation? A violation of notar, a violation of pigul? We don't know what the violation is. So now, avogav de b'maskono, in conclusion, vada yachad minayu avar. For sure, he violated one of the isurim. Nevertheless, b'shad hatra miasafeku. When he's giving, when the individuals, the edim, are giving the warning, there's a safek b'chol ka'achadim yavur al avim lo. We have no idea whether he's going to violate that isur or the other isur. So since there's a safek at the time of hatra, even though for certain at some point he's going to violate one of the two isurim, Rashi calls that hatrat safek. Tosos will take issue with this because that's not the classic case of hatrat safek. And therefore, that's one of the reasons that Tosfos rejects this explanation of Rashi. The last thing in Rashi is that also Shmamina notain tamberov labdo reita. That's the last thing I wanted to read. Rashi hadamar rabbanan b'chol duch. That would the rabbanan say it all over Shas that isur notain tam beheter osro. If there's still flavor from the isur in the heter, it makes it a sur even though it's the mute. Vava pisha heter berov, even though the heter is the majority here. Labdo reita hu lil kota lab. You don't get malkot for that. Dido reita. If it was mina Torah and he nami deraba mina chavero, then in this case here, even though one of the items is greater than the other one, mikomakom taima yohayiv, he still gives flavor. Vika taima deshir shalevim. We have a shir worth of, a kazayit worth of flavor of pigol, and kazayit worth of flavor of notar. If that's the case, you should be chayav malkot. But what's the answer? The answer is that notein tam is only a din derabanan, not a din doraita. So this is the shita of Rashi. We'll just go over it again quickly, because then we're going to see the Tosafot afterwards. Number one, Rashi says you have two kzeitim here. The reason Rashi, or most likely Rashi can't say three kzeitim, because in Rashi's case, if you actually have pigol, notar, and tamei, then for each individual isur, the other two isurim would be mevatel, the third isur. And therefore, there would be nothing. You would be in violation of nothing here, and you couldn't prove anything about the other items that are listed here in Reish Lakish. Now, what is interesting is that if you have, for instance, pigol, notar, and tamei, so then when it comes to the tuma'ah, the pigol and notar mevatel it. The two gzeitim are mevatel that one kazayit. When it comes to the notar, the pigol and the tuma'ah are mevatel it. So what will come out is if you take three isurim, a kazayit from each one, and meet them together, you have het there. That's obviously not the case. We're not saying that when you're mevatel isur is mevatel isur, that it's mevatel to the point where it becomes heter. When we say isur is mevatel isur, it takes away the properties of that isur. It takes away the properties of isur, you can't be chayav malkot for it. But it doesn't remove the fact that this is isur. And so therefore, no matter what the bitul situation here is, we still have isur that's involved here. It's a question of you can get malkot. So that's probably likely what led Rashi away from saying there was the three, but two. So we have now pigol notar gezayit of each one of them. An individual goes and puts them into his mouth and begins to chew on them. So we have one more one we know, that Isser is Mevatel Isser. That's why we're uncertain here as to whether their Isser Pigur, the Isser Notar, is the one that is in violation here, because one of them now took on the properties of the other. One of them is Nitbatel in the robe of the other, because it's never the case that they're exactly equal or at the same location when it's swallowed. There must be a majority of one of them, whichever one's majority takes on the property when it's swallowed, but that minority that was taken away from the Isur, or the other Isur, now makes that Chaser Ksayit. So it's Chaser Ksayit, you can't be in violation of that. So now that's number one, Isur is Mevatel Isur. Number two is, which we saw again, Notein Tam, is only a din d'rabbanan or not a din d'oraita, because otherwise you have a kazayit full of flavor here. A kazayit full of flavor, you should be chayav. Ella, notein tam is only d'rabbanan. The third thing is hatrat safek, is lo shma hatrat, is because over here we don't know which isur you're violating. You're for sure in violation of it, either the pigul and notar. Again, with three, it wouldn't have been that way. For Rashi, you might have been violation of Isur, but you wouldn't have gotten Malkot, so you couldn't prove anything about Hatra'ah. So here we have two items, that one of them definitely has taken on the properties of the other, and that would make the other one now be bigger than a Kazayit, and you should be Chayav Malkot for it. Why aren't you Chayav Malkot? Because it's Hatra'at Safek, according to Rashi. The Hatra'at Safek that we have over here is that you're uncertain, the Edim are uncertain as to which Isur is in violation of. Is he in violation of Pigol, or is he in violation of Notar? That's the sheet of Rashi. If you look in Tosafot, the big Tosafot of a Pigul, he asks a number of questions on Rashi. Number one, he says, Vikasha, dim hitra b'shloshtan, pshita deloke. The first question Tosafot have is, I don't call that hatrat safek. If I go ahead and, if an individual or a dim come and warn an individual that he's violating an isur, it doesn't matter that you say, oh, well, don't violate this, don't violate this, don't violate this. You give him three things that he shouldn't violate. And then he's going to violate one of them in certainty. Bivadot, he's going to violate one of them. That's not called hatrat safek. Afilu l'man d'amar lav shmei hatra. Even according to the one who says that when it comes to hatra, safek, lo shma hatra. Nevertheless, in that type of case, he would agree. Eichen matzino hatrat safek yai gavna. Where do we ever find such a thing called a hatrat safek like this? Now, in the middle wide lines of Tosafot, I'm just reading over there. Devadai avar. Here, he definitely violated one of these surim. Ela delo yadina nahamahani tlat. We just don't know which of the three that he violated here. The pigol notar v'tamei. So here, in this part of Tosafot, sounds like they have the gears of all three. Yet in the latter half of Tosafot, when they give the cases, they only explain that there are two isurim there. So at least maybe he thought Rashi had this girsa. But he says, I don't understand. Number one, Rashi, I don't think that's called hatrat safek. Hatrat safek of the Kol HaTorah Kula is not this. What is it? The hechi dami hatrat safek. What is the hatrat safek of the Torah? Kegon. The lachar gemar davar. After someone completes something, badai shavala mashe hitra. That when he goes through a process, or he takes an action, at the end we can look back and we can say he definitely violated the isur. Ella, dlo yadina mishat hatra. at the moment of the warning, whether he will violate the Isur or not. We're here, according to Tosfot, Hadrat Safek is a case where we are uncertain of whether he will violate the Isur. After the fact, we know he violated the Isur. But when you were warning at that moment in time, we had no idea whether he would definitely be violating the Isur in this action or not being violating the Isur in this action. So only after the fact do we really know that information. In our case, or the case that Rashi is describing over here, that's not the case. We know when we're standing right here, he's definitely violating an Isur. We just don't know which one. But we know for certain that he will violate the Isur. So says that's not called Hatrat Safek. What is interesting is that there's a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish throughout Shas, whether Hatrat Safek is Shema Hatra or not. Rish Lakish's opinion is Hatrat Safek lo Shema Hatra. So it's interesting here that the Gemara is middayek from a statement of Rish Lakish that that's his opinion. He says that explicitly. Why do you have to even middayek out of his statement over here? So it could be. This is how the Gemara knows it in other places. But many of the Achronim tried to explain here that that's exactly why Rashi created a different case of Hatrat Safek. If it was a classic case of Hatrat Safek, then I don't need to make a diuk out of the Mishnah. I don't need to discuss Hatrat Safek at all, because Reish Lakish is explicit in his opinion. Therefore, Rashi says that Hatrat Safek here is a different Hatrat Safek than Kol HaTorah Kula. Exactly what Tosos is questioning Rashi for. Maybe Rashi intentionally made it that way, so it wouldn't have a problem with Reish Lakish's opinion everywhere else in Shas. In addition to this, Tosos asked on Rashi, Vot, Kasha. Heichi Mechayev Klal Mishum Chad Minayu. How is it possible here that you're chayav for any of these serim? So here Tosfos takes issue with Rashi, and this is that chakira and bitul that we spoke about before. Rashi says that when the rov is a rov and a miut, the miut takes on the properties of the rov. It becomes the rov. It's as if the miut doesn't exist at all. Tosfos says, we never found such a thing. I don't agree with that at all. When you have rov and miut, there's still a rov and still a miut. We just assign the properties to the grouping of the rove. But the miut does not become the rove. The miut is still there and it still exists as a miut. We're not mitiyaches elav. We don't deal with it. We don't pay attention to it. Mehalocha, we don't view it as if it's not there. But in terms of it taking on the properties of the rove, no way. So here we have Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos in this exact chatira in Bittul. Rashi says the miut becomes the rove. Tosfos says no way, the miut remains. We just don't deal with it. We just deal with the rove, or we just mitiyaches halachically to the rove. The filu heter lo mitzdarv liyisur. It also says when it's heter and isur, the heter is not mitzdarev the isur. So certainly over here, when it's isur and isur, it's not mitzdarev. So va'od kasha. And then a third question that Tosfos asks on the Rashi: if you say that pigul notar v'tamei shloshtam yachad, if all three of them are together, lamed le'meimar if shar shlo yibimin al chaveiro. Why do I have to say there's no case of one being majority over the other? Tosfos points out here, which is not clear from Rashi, that Tosfos says, well, if you're dealing with three different types of isur, talking about pigul notar and tamei, then as we said before, then each two of these surim mavatal the 30 sur. And therefore, what do you need to know about this, that EF Shar Shaloh Yabeh? Of course, because you have a rove of other items that are mavatal that single isur. Now, it's not clear from Rashi. From Rashi, it sounds like Kazai Mizeh, Ukazai Mizeh. When it says Shabalan Zebezeh, he says a Kazai from this one, a Kazai from that one. He only says two Kazaitim over there, which makes it sound like Rashi only thinks there are two isurim over here, whereas Tosfos seems to think that Rashi had three isurim. And in the case of three isurim, he says, I don't understand why this even comes up. Of course, there's a rove over the other isurim, because this isur is one Kazai versus two Kazaitim of two different types of Isurim. Tosfos says, for these reasons, I don't think that Rashi is right. So now Tosfos gives two possibilities to explain what the case is. So he says, Venir Lefarish. This is the first explanation from the Rabbeinu Baruch, that Kegon Dika Beit Zeite Pigul. We have a mixture here that involves two Zeitim of Pigul and Bezait Notar and one Kazayit of Notar. Yachad, they're mixed together, but Chatiyachad, they're put together in a single unit. So there it's clear, which is the Rove. The Rove is the Pigul. Pigul has two zaitim, the notar has one zait. Then we have a second, va'od, and we have another chaticha, we have another mixture over there, where there's two kazaitim of notar, and one kazait of pigul. So over there it's clear which is the rove is the notar. Then you have these two pieces. Then the individual goes ahead and eats them. He eats them, ochal chat min achitachot, he eats one of these two piles over here. Now, we don't know what the status of these piles are, because the rove is mevatel the miut over here. So if it was the pile that was two kazeitim of pigul, then the pile, you're only in violation of pigul in that case. The notar goes away because it's batel berov. On the other hand, in the other pile, we have a rove of notar and a miut of pigul. So over there, if one consumed it, they'd be over the isur of notar, but pigul would not exist because that's a miut. Now this individual went ahead and ate from one of the piles. When we're looking at this pile, we have no idea what we're warning him about. We don't know if he's in violation of pigul or notar in each one of these piles. So here, they only gave one warning, and that's what Tosfos says over here. Vitrubo atachal pigul. They said, don't eat pigul when he goes to eat that pile, the first pile. Shema, because maybe this is the pile that has the two gzeitim of pigo in it. Then, afterwards, he goes. Well, first Tosu suggests it's after the point of Kedei Achilat Pras, so they're not mitzdareif. Later on, Tosu suggests even if it is Kedei Achilat Pras, so even within the time period that they're considered to be one eating, nevertheless, it doesn't work. And then he says, Vitrubo, and they give him a warning and say, don't, al tochol pigol, kibrishona. Give him the same warning again, don't eat this, this could be pigol. So the warning that's given here is the same warning for both piles. It says, al tochlu pigol. In both these cases, it says, don't eat this, it could be pigol. In both the instances, we have a hatrat safek over here. We have no idea whether the pile is the one that has the robe of pigul, or it's the one that has the robe of notar. So the warning that you give at the time, you have no idea if the person is going to violate the isur of pigul over here, because you don't know if there actually is isur of pigul in this pile. And therefore, that's classified as hatrat safek. And that's what Tosfos says is the case over here. Number one, we say isur is mevatel isur. So there's only one isur in each pile. That's number one. Number two, we says there's no notin tam berov, because if there was notin tam berov, we'd have two isurim here and not one isur. The last thing, hatrat safek, that comes about because which pile? We don't know what's in each pile. One pile is isur pigo, one pile is isur notar, and you're only warning him for both piles. The first pile warning pigo, second pile warning pigo. That's called hatrat safek. We don't know if he's violating it, and therefore he is patur in this case. That's the explanation of the Rabbeinu Baruch. On the other hand, Benir Lefaris Tosfos brings a second explanation. This is toward the widest lines in the Tosfot. The Trei Minayu Kamar. We're talking about here two different Isurim. The Shako Trei Mahani Tlat, two out of these three that are mentioned above. Ubalan Zebezeb Achlani, mix them together and consume them. Ukagon, and what's the case? Ukagon, Shako Bed Zeitim Mechad Isura, Vedalet Zeitim Mebezidurim. Took two Kazayit from one type of Isur. And then it sounds like from here that he took four Kazayitim from another Isur. There are other Achlanim who read it as being two and two over here. The most likely scenario, most of the Bechonim read this as being two Zeitim and four Zeitim. Ubalan Bekarachat. Then he mixed them all together in one platter. Vachlan. And then he ate them. There's no question that there should be a rove here. When you're eating over here, there's a rove of one of these items. You have two gzeitim and you have four gzeitim. One of these is overwhelming the other. So now, we don't know which isura. We don't know which isura is in violation at any moment in time, or any point. We have no idea which isura he is violating. Is it the pigul, or is it the notar? Because here you mix them together, you have two gzeitim of the pigul. Two gzeitim of the pigul could overwhelm some of the notar at one point in time. So when a person scoops that out of the plate, we don't know if they have a rove of pigul there or a rove of notar. On the other hand, we also have four gzeitim of notar, so they could be overwhelming the pigul. And when a person takes a piece of that off the plate, when they're mixed together, we don't know if he's getting notar, he's getting pigul. So again, here, the statement of Reish Lakish, number one, isur mevatel isur. Part of our problem over here is that we just don't know what isur he's violating, because each isur, if it was the robe, would be mevatel the other one. Tom isn't relevant, because if Tom was relevant, we definitely have a shiur from both of them, so Tom can't be relevant. What about the hatrat safek over here? So this is the explanation, this part of Tosfos. Tosfos says, I'll explain you the hatrat safek over here. The first time the person comes, he takes a bite out, he says, don't eat it, because you'll be in violation of pigul. Person eats, ignores him, and eats it anyway. Then he goes to eat a second time, and he says, don't eat that, because you'll be in violation of notar. He eats it anyway, and he ignores him. So over here, what's different in this case is the warning. The first warning is about pigul. The second warning is about notar. The problem is that in any given scoop, we have no idea whether the rove here is pigul or rove is notar. So in the first case, the edim say to him, don't eat pigul. He goes ahead, scoops it up anyway, and eats it. We don't know if what he scooped up, the rove was pigul, and has a din of pigul, or the rove was notar. So that's called hatrat safek. You have no idea when you warn him whether he's really going to violate the isur pigul. Then the second time comes around, he eats the other half that's over here. Now when he eats the other half over here, he's going to finish up everything that's there. As Tosfos says here, it could be even be Kedei Achilat Pras. So now, Favadai, he's in violation of the isur, both isurim at some point here. But the problem is that when this individual comes back, the edim come back again, they see him about to take the second scoop, they say, don't do that, because if you do that, you're going to be in violation of notar. They switch the isur. So now they created a problem. One is that the first time they warned him was pigul, the second time they warned him it was notar. There, one of them, manavshach, is violation of both isurim, but at any given moment in time, we don't know which isur he's in violation of, because you don't know what the rove is at that point in time that he's eating it. Now what are you going to say? If he eats a big day, achilat pras, then the person ate that, he definitely violated pigul. So you gave that warning in the beginning, al tochlu pigul, and he said, don't eat pigul, and he eats the first piece. Then he eats the second piece. Now he's finished. Everything's there. Finished everything that's there. Vadai, he ate some pigul there. So why don't you say he's chayav? What Tosfos says, because of the second hatra. When the individual gives the second hatra and says, don't eat notar, it's as if he wiped out the first Nadim come and say, don't eat that for notar. It's as if they're saying, but not pigul anymore. The fact that they changed their hatra'ah means that they undermine the original hatra'ah. And so now we have each individual piece is a safek. Each piece is a safek notar, safek pigul. And you only gave one warning in each case. So it could be the other one. And therefore we don't give malkot over here because it's called hatra'at safek. Okay, now the Gemara is going to challenge Rish Lakish's opinion here, but that notin tam berov is not a din d'oraita, but rather only a din d'rabbonon. Meiti rovo. Also, yisam ina chitin, a person who makes a loaf of bread, makes a dough out of dagan, out of tfu'ah, out of grains of wheat, umina oriz. But mixed in there is also rice flour. So you have wheat flour and rice flour mixed together, and you bake bread out of it. Im yesh ba tam dagan. If the bread or the dough has a flavor of tvuah of grains, then chayevet b'chala. One is obligated to give chala. You have to be mafrish chala from certain quantities of dough being given to the kohen. You have to be mafrish is only from the chamesha taminim of dagan, only from the five types of grains: wheat, barley, oats, rye, and spelt. Those five grains. Orez. When it comes to rice, rice does not qualify as one of the five grains. One does not have to give chala from bread made out of rice flour. So over here we have a mixture of rice flour and wheat flour. What's the determining factor about whether you give challah or not? Over here the Mishnah says, taste. Taste is the determining factor. Well, that sounds like taste is a determining factor midoraita. You're going to give challah based on the taste. The Mishnah says, v'afagav deruba orez. Even though over here we're talking about where the rice flour is the majority, and the wheat flour is the minority, nevertheless, we say that the dagan dictates because it's giving flavor. If you can taste the dagan, that's enough to be chayvet chala. That will go against this position of Reish Lakish that we just saw. Midrabonon. The Gemara says, no, what we're talking about here is chalo midrabonon. Midoraita, it's not chayvet in chala at all, because it was batel berov. The flavor? That's a din d'rabbanan. So the flavor tells us that it has a din of tvuah now because of the flavor of the wheat. So go give challah mid'rabbanan. But it will not be challah mid'oraita. The Gemara says you can't really say that. You know why? Yehochi emasif. What are you going to do with the second half of this Mishnah? Adam yotzei ba yidei chovata b'pesach. Someone who eats this mixture is yotzei his din of matzo on Pesach. Now matzah, we have a hekesh between chametz and matzah in the Torah. And therefore, the Chazal learned in the Gemara Pesachim that mi sheyesh bo ba'al tochal chametz, only items that can come to chametz are ra'ui to be matzah. Matzah can only be made out of items that could become chametz. That means only the chametz shmit to the minim. So now again here, you're talking about wheat flour and rice flour mixed together. The majority is rice flour. And you're saying this person who eats this matzah made out of majority of rice flour is yotzei his din of matzah on Pesach. That's a din do, right? That is being yotzei. Even though the rove is orez. Why is that? Because the flavor. It has the flavor of the gun, has a flavor of tvuah, and therefore it's kosher for the matzah of Pesach. So I'm proving for you, I can prove to me here, that we're talking about a din d'oraita, and we see that there's a din of notin tam d'oraita. So now, how could you, Reish Lakish, come along and say that notin tam is only a din d'rabbanan, not a din d'oraita? Gemara says, wait a minute, you're mixing and matching apples and oranges here. Ella, min b'she'enu mino b'tamo. Wait, when it comes to min she'enu b'mino, when there are distinct items, different items, then we say notin tam dictates, and it's a din d'oraita. Min b'mino, when we're talking about items that are the same, then beruba. Then it goes after rov, and notin tam does not dictate. So Reish Lakish's statement, before we assume that Reish Lakish was talking about min she'enu mino, talking about pigel, notar, and tamay, we thought we were talking about two different types. Or two different flavors. In the end, the Gemara says, no, Reish Lakish's case is a min b'mino. It's talking about two pieces of meat. One piece of meat that's pigul, one piece of notar, they're exactly the same flavor. And therefore, it's min b'mino. Min b'mino, flavor is not relevant over there. That's what Reish Lakish says. The only thing that's relevant is the rov. We don't look at the flavoring to determine whether a person gets malkot or the isur that he's violating. We just look at the rov. Whatever the rov is will dictate. Whereas, when it comes to min she'enu mino, like in our case over here in the Mishnah that puts the rice flour and the wheat flour together, that's two different minim, two different types. Over there, we're going to say that it's batel berov is not enough. Midoraita, notin tam does have impact. So notin tam will impact when it's min she'enu mino. So the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question here. Why is that? Look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, which has a demand for appearance, says, well, if it's two different types or two different appearances, no problem. Here's the test for it. If they're the exact same appearance, what do? We substitute. We say, what if this was not this wine or was water instead? So why don't you say the same thing here? True, by min she'eno mino, it's easy to determine whether there's flavoring over here because there are distinct flavors. When it comes to min b'mino, it's the exact same item, there's no longer notein tam. There is no longer giving flavor because they're the exact same flavor. So Gemara says, whoa, v'nisha'er, min b'mino, k'min she'en b'mino. Why don't we look at it as keilu? We'll say that, yes, they have the same flavor here, but why don't we look at the second piece as if it had a different flavor? And if it did have a different flavor, would it be enough to flavor this item or not? Just like we do that in the Mishnah, why don't we do it over here? Because the Tanan, nita'ari b'yayin, if the blood got mixed up with the wine, our Mishnah, ro'ino to ki'ilu humayim, we look at the wine as if it's water. So my lav, how do we explain that case in a Mishnah? We look at the wine as if it's water. I mean, the dam is what we're interested in over here because we have to put on the mizbeach, and now it got mixed in with wine. So we say, look, consider the wine to be water. If it was water, would it dilute the solution to the point where it would not have the appearance of dam? That's the test we're doing over here. And that's exactly what you're asking you to do. B'min, no. Look, Gemara says, no. Rowino told the dam, kilu mayim. We look at the blood as if it's water over there. So Mara says, wait a minute, what do you mean you look at the blood as if it's water? So what does that do when we reverse the case over here? We said in our Mishnah, we're talking about a case where the dam is the miut and the yayin is the rov. The yayin's the rov. So there we wanted to determine, even when the yayin's the rov, we want to see if the blood still gives coloring to it, and we said it'd be kasher. That's the case, it'd be exactly like our case over here, and why don't we say b'min b'mino should apply to min b'mino? The Gemara says, well, our Mishnah, the Gemara says, no, our Mishnah is not the same case. In the case of our Mishnah, we have a case where it's the yayin is the rov and the dam is the miut. So what am I looking as if it's water? Well, we assumed when we read the Mishnah, and now with the Gemara assumed the same thing, is the wine. We're trying to determine whether if we make the wine into water, the dam would still give appearance of blood to the solution. Gemara says, no, that's not what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is saying, we look at the blood as if it's water. The only determining factor over here is rov. And when it says the blood's like water, it means that the yayin is mevatel the dam, and you can drink this. It's wine that you can drink by yourself. Gemara says, yehochi. Wait, if that's the case, our Mishnah is not written properly. Our Mishnah says kasher. When the Mishnah says kasher, it's telling you that it's kasher to put on the mizbeach. If you were right that the Mishnah was discussing about the miut of the dam, that it's nitbatel in the toch yayin, the Mishnah says it should have said batel mi ba'ile. Should have said batel, not kasher. The od. And Tanya, we have an explicit braita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ro'ino to kilu hu yayin edom. We look at it as if it's red wine. Im deha mer ehu kasher. Bimla pasul. We're going to get to this in a second. It's a tosefta in mikvaot. The Rabbi Yehuda says explicitly over there that we look at the item that fell in. It's going to be a clear item that falls into a mikveh. We look at it as if it's wine. So you see over there that the item that we're looking at is the item that's the minority that's falling in, and we're trying to determine whether it gives appearance or not. Imdia mareu, if it reduces the appearance, it's kashim la pasul. If that's the case, I don't understand why you can't, in the case of min b'mino, do the same thing that you did b'min she'enu mino. Noting time should dictate even min b'mino. We'll just determine it, or we'll discover whether it's flavor or not through min b'enu mino. But we'll apply it to min b'mino, just like by appearance. By appearance in our Mishnah, as well as the Tosefta that we just brought to Rabbi Yehuda. In both those instances, even though the blood is the minority, or in our case here, that the item, the waters, the pasul waters that fall into the mikveh are the minority, nevertheless, if they contribute to the appearance, in our case, the Mishnah, they make it red enough that it's still like blood, then it's kasher blood, even as a miut. And over here, in the case of mikveh, if it gives appearances of the, other than water, had it been something else, then that's poposel. If it retains the same coloring of the mikveh, then it would be mutar. So here I have proofs, two proofs, the fact that when we can't do something, we say roino tokilo. We say, well, let's look at it in the case where it would have been okay, or would have been possible to determine whether it was appearance or whether it was flavor, and we'll do it roino tokilo. Tosos points out that the Gemara is inconsistent throughout Shas over when we say roin. Do we say roin by yisurim? Do we say roin by this, by that? Tosos says that we're actually, I'll just read you the Tosos. Happens to be the Tosos on the top of Ayin Tedem and Aleph. The Tosos, he says over here that the Gemara is inconsistent in price. He says, by kodshim, tuma, and mikvah, we say roin. By yisurim, we don't say roin. Ela b'min b'mino, midoraita biruba. Begami tuma, nami yichtuch delomer imin roin. And sometimes in tuma also we don't say roin o toki ilu. It was something else. He says, v'iyav shar devar er tam. We can't figure out any consistent reason here. When the Gemara says you use it. When you don't use it, you don't use it. He says, I have no consistent theme or logical way to explain why the Gemara applies it in some cases and why it doesn't apply it in other cases. But what we have over here is clearly a case of roin, that we say it over here. We say it by appearance. We say it by flavor. We say that there is a din of roinoto. So why did you come to a conclusion to reconcile between Rish Lakish and the Mishnah in Chala? You say, well, one's min b'mino, one's min she'en b'mino. Why should that make any difference? Why should min b'mino and min she'en b'mino make any difference? Min b'mino, it's impossible to tell the flavor. So just look at it as if, roinoto, as if it was minotein tam, just like we do it by mar'eh. So to over here, we should do it. As Rashi says at the top of the Amud, Rabbi Nisha'er min b'kemi mino k'shem mino. Whenever we're looking for flavor, as long as it gives flavor, it's not batel. Why are we mizalzel in Yisurim to say when there's flavor there, too bad, okay, it's just rov. Had it been min veino mino, maybe this would not be permissible more. Because you would have been able to tell the flavor. Also here in the case of min b'mino, lo nivatel. Ad rabba love kokach kashir bitol sham min shein mino, until it totally wipes out the flavor like it does min shein mino. Why would we ever be makil over here versus the case of min shein mino? And we'll learn that out from the chazuta by the appearance. The same din that we have by the appearance should apply over here. My answer is tanahi. It is a machloket tanaim. Titania, we have a brayta or tosefta that's brought down. This is just the tosefta. Dli sheish bo yayin lavan. You have a bucket full of white wine. Oh, chalav, or milk, vihit below. And then he put it into the mikveh, hochin achar harov. We go after the rov. So now, over here we have a case, we have a bucket full of one of these two liquids. The liquids have the exact same appearance as the mei mikveh. Then you dip this bucket into the mikveh, and now we have water that is mixing with the yayin levan, or water that is mixing with the chalav. Now, the items, or those liquids that are inside the kli, they're not considered mei mikveh. Now we have a chatzitza, something that's blocking the kli from being surrounded totally by the mei mikveh, from the water to the mikveh. Well, how do I know if the item inside is classified as mei mikveh, or is classified as a separate item? Well, the Tana Kama says that it goes after the rov. We just look at what is the rov. If the rov of what's contained inside this kli is from the mayim of the mikveh, then it's mevatel the chalav or the white wine that's inside of it, and now the kli was totally submerged in the mikveh and you don't have a problem. On the other hand, if the majority of the liquids contained inside the dali were the yayin lavan or the chalav, then inside the kli, it's not classified as mei mikveh, it's classified as white wine or chalav, and now you have chatzitza, because the mei mikveh did not totally encompass the kli. So the Tana Kama says the determining factor here is rov. That's the only factor. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, roin ato ki lehu yayin adom. No, we said, look at these items, the chalav or the white wine, look as if it was red wine. Im dihamarehu, if the appearance was diluted and became less kasher, bimla pasul, and if it did not, then it's pasul. So over here, it's a question of appearance. The Rabbi Yehuda says, it doesn't matter what's the rov, or it doesn't matter what's the miyut over here. Only thing that matters here is appearance. How do I determine the appearance? I determine the appearance by saying, okay, this white wine, if it was red, how would it appear once you put the bucket in and took it out? If this was red wine instead of chalav, if I put the bucket in and take it out, what's the appearance? If the appearance would have been diminished somehow, it would have become less pronounced, then I know the mei mikveh, we're now totally part of the mixture in the solution, and there's no chatzitza anymore. On the other hand, if they retain their appearance, even though they are the miyut over here, they will still be classified as a chatzitza, because the mei mikveh have not overwhelmed them or brought them to the point where they're batel. So here's our machlokas tanaim. The Tana Kama says the only determining factor when I have min b'mino is rov. Min b'mino, we don't look at chazuta, we don't look at the appearance, and the same will be true by taima. We won't be mityaches to flavor, because in both these cases they're not relevant. When they have the exact same appearance, you can't determine appearance. We don't say roin oto, we don't say, oh, what if it was a different type? It's not. We have two things that are exact same color, so the only thing we determine is rov. And the same thing with min b'mino and flavor. By min b'mino and flavor, only thing that will matter here is rov. They have the exact same flavor. If they have the exact same flavor, that can't be the determining factor, so the only factor will be rov. The hand review says no. In both those cases, I agree with you that you can't determine between the flavor because it's min b'mino. I can't change the test the appearance because they have the same appearance. But what I can do is say, what if? What if it was a different flavor? What if it was a different appearance? How would that be impacted by the case over here? So we see from Yehuda that we don't go after rov and miyut, but rather we go after the appearance and the taima, even in min b'mino. And that's what the Gemara says here. We have a machloket tanaim about this. Now we have a question on this. That what the question here is and what the answer is subject to machlokes Rashi and the Tosafot over here. We'll first read it according to Rashi, and then we'll go back and read it according to the Tosafot. So v'reminu, we have a question from another braita. This braita actually has three bavot, three cases over here. The first case is dli shumalei rokin. We have a bucket full of spit. Bid below. If he puts it into the mikveh, kilo lo taval. that spit is considered to be a chatzitza, because this spit has a more solid viscosity to it, therefore it's not classified like water, and it remains in there, and it's a chatzitza between the bucket and the main mikveh that went in there. And therefore, if you put the bucket in, no matter how much of the main mikveh went in there, the spit still remains as a chatzitza, and it's not kasher. That's the first case. The second case, and this is according to the Girsa Rashi, Mei raglayim, roino toki lehin mayim. If there was urine in the bucket, then it's irrelevant what you do at this point. Once you go in there, you put it in, and we say it's as if it becomes like water. Since urine and is a subset of water, therefore when you put it in, it will not be a chatzitza. It will become a part of the mikveh, and the utensil will become tahor. And this is, it's irrespective of how much urine is and how much mei mikveh are there in there. Even if the majority of what's inside the bucket is urine and not mei mikveh, since they're classified as mayim, because we look at them as if they're water, therefore they're kasher legamrei. Now, malei mei chatat, on the other hand, if the bucket is full of mei chatat, then in this last section, we are determining by rov. What's the case here? We're talking about the waters of chatat. These are the waters of the para aduma that you're going to sprinkle on an individual. Well, they have chashivut. They have significance over here. So we're not going to say like the urine where it's batel the gamrei, it's like water. Yes, they're water, but they have a status. They have kedushah to them. They have a unique ability to mitire someone. So they're not just going to be like the urine where we say it's batel to the mikveh and there's nothing to talk about. On the other hand, they're not like the spit. In the first case, in the spit is different than the water, and it has a distinct properties that are aside from the water. Mechatat is water. It itself is water, so it's not distinct. So what's the determining factor over here? Here the Mishnah says, the Mishnah from Mikvot says that the determining factor here is rov. That the last case is a case of rov. And when the Mishnah says malei rokin, when it says it's full of rok, Rashi says that's lav dafka. It doesn't have to be filled to the top with spit in order to be problematic. Because even a minority will be problematic because it's chutzetz. So why does it say malei rokin? Rashi says because it also says malei mei raglayim. Our Mishnah in the Girsa that we have in our Gemara does not have that. But Rashi claims that there was also malei mei raglayim. And by malei mei raglayim, there's a chiddush in it being full. Even if it's full of urine to the top, it's still nidbatel to the mikveh, and it's not a chatzitza because it's classified as mayim. So the fact that the Mishnah, to be in parallel structure, used the word malei by the rokin, by the malei by the rokin is not coming to teach us any din. The malei that is coming to teach us a din is the one by the mei raglayim that teaches us no matter how much urine there is in this pot, it will be tahor in the mikveh because it will be nidbatel to the mei mikveh. So now, what's the question? Man shmai leidi le roin. Who is the person that we know has the opinion that we say roin, that says that we look at something as if it is? Well, this Mishnah mentioned the word roin. It said, Meraglaim roin otukilein mayin. Well, whose shita is that? We know from the previous Tosefta that that's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. In man shmait leidit le roin is Rabbi Yehuda, biktani. And then the last case in the Mishnah says, sagale beruba, that it's min bemino, may go after rov. Remember the three bavot in this Mishnah. There's the first bava that deals with spit, the second bava that deals with urine, and the third bava that deals with mechatat. And yet there's a distinction between the second and the third bava. In the second bava, we say, roin toki luin mayin, look as if it's a water, and it's totally fine, and it's tahor, and there's no chatzitz over here. Yet in the latter piece, we say that it goes batol barov, it has to do with rov. Well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when it's min bemino, it should be roin oto, it should have to do with appearance. We should look at it as if it was some other item to see if it would make a difference in the appearance or not. Why are we making the determination of being rove, and that's an absolute objective standard versus the standard of appearance or flavor? So what? That's a problem. The Gemara says, oh, you think that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of this position that says roin oto, that when we look at something, we go after the flavor or the appearance, and we don't go after the rov. Here I have an explicit Mishnah in Mikvot that says that it has this concept called roim in it, which is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. And at the end, the third case there says that it's going batel berov, that when it's min bemino, we're batel berov. So how can you claim that's the position of Rabbi Yehuda? So Amar Rabbi lo kasho, that's not a problem. Hadidei, hadirabei. It's a difference between Rabbi Yehuda and his Rebbe, Rabbi Gamliel, the Tanya. We have a Breita that tells us, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Rabbi Gamliel, Ein Dam Mevatel Dam, Ein Rok Mevatel Rok, Vein Merglaim Mevatlim Merglaim. Here we have all these items that are Min Bimino. Anytime there's Min Bimino, including our Mishnah, when it says Ein Dam Mevatel Dam, then one item is not Mevatel the other item. When they're Min Bimino, there is no Bitul over here. Ein Rok Mevatel Rok. Min Bimino can't be Mevatel the other Rok, and Ein Merglaim Mevatel Merglaim. So the author of our Mishnah that talks about Ein Dam Mevatel Dam, that's authored by Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda b'shem is Rabbi Gamliel. Over here, the Mishnah in Mikvot that says that we go but the Rov, who's that? That's authored by Rabbi Yehuda himself. That's Rabbi Yehuda himself. It's his own position, not the position of his Rabbi. So in the Mishnah, when it says Ein Dam Mevatel Dam, that's Rabbi Yehuda Aliba de Rabbi Gamliel. Also, the Tosefta that we brought down that says, that's also Rabbi Yehuda, Alibi de Rabbi Gamliel. The Mishnah Mikvot is Rabbi Yehuda l'shita day. It's its own shita. That's what he believes. The other two cases, the Tosefta and the Mishnah, those were cases where he was quoting his Rebbe, Rabbi Gamliel, which we see explicitly that in a Braita, that Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Gamliel, says that Ein Dam Mevatel Dam, and Ein Rok Mevatel Rok, Ein Meglayim Mevatel Meglayim. We have Min Bimino. They're not Mevatel each other. Rov doesn't matter. What does matter is either appearance or flavor, depending on what the situation is. Now, Rov offers up an additional solution to this stir over here, and Rov says, we're talking about a utensil whose inside is tahor and its outside is tameh. By definition, that only could be a din derabonon, because kli cheres, for instance, what we're talking about here, pottery, only is mekabel tuma on the inside. The rabbanon goes there with certain tumot, like tumat mashkim, that will also affect the outside. So how do they make a heker that's only a din tuma derabonon? They said only the outside of the kli cheres will be tameh, not the inside. So now you have to take this kli, and you have to take it to the mikveh and be tovel it in the mikveh in order to remove the tumah that's on the outside. The gzera d'rabbanan here is that the person must submerge the kli entirely, even though technically all he has to do is get the outside in and a little bit of water over the top. That's the chachamim said, put it in entirely. We want to make sure, well, I don't want to get the water inside, I don't want to mess it up, so you don't put it in all the way. No, he says submerge it entirely. That's gzera d'rabbanan. Then you have an additional din, which is the idea of note mareh, whether rov is something's batel berov or not batel berov. So here I have a liquid inside of this utensil, and now I'm submerging it into the mikveh. We saw before, in the case of the Tosefta, that Rabbi Yehuda says, even though it's min b'mino, we still go after chazuto, we go after the appearance. So over here, even though it's the minority, we should have to go after the appearance. So how come in this case, in the Mishnah Mikvot, we don't go after the appearance by the Mechatat? That has to do with the fact that we're dealing with the din d'rabbanan. The din d'rabbanan is, number one, you have to submerge the entire kli. Now, number two, I have a separate din, which is that I'm choshesh, b'mino, I'm choshesh for chazuta, for appearance. So here, the chamim were not mafil. They said, in the din d'rabbanan, they said, if it's the miyud, it's batel. Even though technically midoraita, if it was a din doraita, it would not be batel. We'd have to go after the appearance. Nevertheless, over here, since this whole idea of submerging the entire kli in order to make it tahor is only a din derabbanan, over there they waive the necessity for looking at mareh or appearance. They said everything goes after the rov. And that's how we'll reconcile. Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Gamliel is Rabbi according to Rava. They have the same shita, which is the shita is that min b'mino, that ein dam mevatel dam, ein meraglim mevatel meraglim, ein rok mevatel rok, in all of these instances. And that's, he holds like his Rebbe. Ah, what about the Mishnah Mikvot, which sounds like he doesn't hold like that? That's an exceptional case, because I was dealing with Tumah D'Rabbanan, and in Tumah D'Rabbanan, they waived that necessity for looking at the appearance. They just said, okay, go after Rov in that case. So that's the way Rov learns it. Now, Tosafot takes issue with Rashi, and he, for a number of reasons, first question that Tosafot asks on Rashi is, that by the Meraglayim, by the urine, why do we say, Ro'ino Toku Hiluhin Mayim? Why do we say we look at them as if they're water? According to Rashi, the Meraglayim are water. So what do you mean we're looking at them as if they are water? Rashi says they have a status of water. So what does that mean? Kilohein ro'ino tam kilohein mayin. It's not the same way that we use it in the other instances. In the other instances, we're saying we look at it as if it's water, like in our Mishnah, is because that's the min she'eno mino. We're making it into something that's not the min over here. Over here, you have meraglim, which is water, and you're going to say, oh, look at it as if it's water. That's making it the same min that it was before. Ro'in usually changes something from being min b'mino to min she'eno b'mino. So Rashi, I don't understand how you're explaining this Mishnah. Are you reading this Mishnah Mikvot to say Kiluhein Rohin? So Tosa says, I don't think Rashi's explanation is right. And number two is, I don't think that's the Girsa in the Mishnah in Mikvot. So that's the first question that Tosa has on Rashi. The second question that Tosa has on Rashi is that that Mishnah in Mikvot has an internal stira. We have the middle case there, which is the case of the urine, and there we say Rohinoto, and we go after appearance, it seems like. And number two, we have the third section of that Mishnah, which says that we go after the rov. So what? The answer is Hadarabe, Hadarab Yehuda, Hadarabe. Why does that help you? That helps that you understand why the Tosefta and the Mishnah have a different din than this Mishnah Mikvot. What it doesn't solve is the internal stira in this Mishnah and Mikvot. And that Rashi doesn't deal with at all. Because in one case you say Roin, which is the middle case by the urine, and the other case is the case of Rov, where we say that it goes after Rov. So according to Rashi, where does the Gemara reconcile that? Well, Rashi really doesn't say that because he calls the Kiluhein Roin as different. His Roin Kiluhein in this Mishnah is different than everywhere else. Everywhere else we make it into Min Sheinu Mino, here we make it to Min Mino. Maybe that's why Rashi doesn't have to reconcile. Based on that, Tosa says, I think that the Girsa in the Mishnah in Mikvot is such. Near the Gassina, Meraglaim Roin Tim Kiluhein Yayin. That we look at the urine as if it is wine. V'chi hai gavna tanyim tosefta b'seket harot. He says, if you look in the tosefta b'seket harot, that's exactly the way it's set up. That the question there is not a question. We don't look at the urine as if it's water. We look at the urine as if it's yayin. And then we determine, based on that, whether it's batel to the mikveh or not batel to the mikveh. And once you do that, what's the reminhu of the Gemara? The Gemara is saying like this. That we have a shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says, ein dam mevatel dam. Because it's min b'mino, and appearance matters. Then we have the Tosefta that we brought down before that was talking about a case of water and chalav and water and white wine. That's min she'eno mino. That's min and eno mino. And over there, Rabbi Yehuda says we go after the appearance. We really know toki ilu. Even though they are the same appearance, nevertheless, they are min be'eno mino. Min she'eno mino, we say, go ahead and check the appearance, even though these appearances are similar. So now we come down to this third case here, the Reminhu, which is the Mishnah and Mikvaot. In the Mishnah and Mikvaot, the middle case is a case of Meraglaim, of urine and water. Urine and water are Min, Sheinu, Mino. They happen to have the same appearance. So there we say, we own it to Pilu Yayin. We look at it as if it was wine. So we take a look at the appearance. That's Shitat Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda the Shitat To. That by Min, She'enu Mino, we go and look at it, going to Toki Iluhin. And that was true in the Tosefta that we brought down, about the Yain Lavan and the Chalav. It's true in this middle case in the Mishnah Mikvaot about the Meraglaim and the water. And now we have all of a sudden a third case. The third case here in the Mishnah is the case of Mechatat and Mayim. Well, Mechatat and Mayim are Min Bimino. They're both water. So that Min Bimino, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying, go after the Rove. Min Bimino, go after the Rove. What are you going to do with our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says, Ein Dam Avatel Dam. Our Mishnah is talking about a case of Min B'mino, it's blood and blood. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein Dam Avatel Dam. We don't go after Rove. So now, that's the Stira, according to Tosafot. The Stira is from, not from this Mishnah Mikvaot to the Tosafot we were before, but rather it's a Stira in Rabbi Yehuda's position. Rabbi Yehuda in one place seems to indicate that Min B'mino requires Chazuta, requires appearance. In the other case, he says, Min B'mino does not require a chazuta. In our Mishnah, he says, Ein dam avatel dam, min b'mino requires appearance. And in this Mishnah, Mikvot, in the third case, by the Mechatat, he says, min b'mino, it goes after the rove. Now, Rabbi Yehuda definitely agrees, and that's the middle case of the Mishnah, as well as the Tosefta, that when it's min she'eno mino, then you go after appearance. And we say, roi neto ki'ilu. Then the Ambaye Rabbaye, the answer according to Tosfos is lokasha. Hadide hadarabe. When it comes to min b'mino, that stira in Rabbi Yehuda has to do with the fact of what's his position as Rebbe's position. His Rebbe's position is b'min b'mino, we still go after chazuta, we still look at the chazuta, and therefore he's the author of our Mishnah. Ein dam v'atel dam is Rabbi Yehuda according to Rabbi Gamliel, which we just bring in the Braita coming up. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda in Mikvaot, the case that we know it's Rabbi Yehuda, because there it says min she'eno mino, we look ki'ilu hein ro'in, by the case of the urine, that's Rabbi Yehuda. And then the last case there, where we say by the case of Mechatat, where it's min b'mino, we say gbatol rov and not chazuta, that's Rabbi Yehuda the shitate, that's his own shita. So Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Gamaliel when it's min she'eno mino, even though their appearances are identical, we look at it ki'ilu hein, we look at it as if it was some other item. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda is cholek as Rabbi Gamliel when it comes to min b'mino that have the same appearance. Min b'mino that have the same appearance. Rabbi Gamliel says, ein dam mevatel dam, ein rok mevatel rok, ein meraglaim mevatel meraglaim. You have to go after the appearance again. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that when it's min b'mino and the same appearance, over there I say that it goes after the rov, and that's he's the author of that position, the mechatat. The only thing that Tosfos loses out of this whole explanation, which seems to flow and is a little easier than Rashi's explanation, because then the Roino Toki Ilo is consistent throughout all the Mishnayot, is the fact that, remember, we just said that Rashi says, why does it say Malei Rokin? Why does it say it has to be full of spit? We know that even if it's not full of spit, even if they're the minority, it's a chatzitza, and it would be a problem for the Kli. Well, Rashi says the Malei here was brought down just because of the Malei Meraglaim in the next bava of the Mishnah. Well, Tosas, the way Tosas explained it, the next Malei Meraglaim is not like Rashi. Rashi said it says Malei Meraglaim to teach you the Chiddush, that even though it's full of urine, it's water, so it's no problem. But according to Tosas, it is a problem. The Meraglaim are a problem. We look at them, Kilein Yayin. We look at them as if they're wine. So why does it have to be, why does it say Malei Meraglaim? So according to that, the Girsa, like in Argamar, there is no Malei Meraglaim. If that's the case, how do you explain why it says Malei Rokin in the first Bava, that Mishnah, why does it say it's full of spit? That's not necessary to be full of spit, even if it's the minority. So that's the only tzarachion in Tosafot. Tosafot asks it on himself, and he says that's the only problem in his explanation versus Rashi's explanation. Okay, we'll stop over here, and we'll continue with this Gemara tomorrow.